We're called to forgive. I'm just trying to think of some things that are attached to this that I think are very worldly. You may never forget what's been done against you, but we're still called to forgive. I mean, he says, well, you know, as long as I'm sort of... No, we're called to forgive. And you may never, in a sense, you know, not feel that. You know, I just, the idea that, you know, well, forgive and forget, you may never forget. Again, using that, you know, the litmus test idea, the root of bitterness discussion, and I think Keller was the guy who came up with this and suggested it, it was, you know you're bitter if when you hear about somebody and they're doing poorly, you get pleasure out of that, you know you're bitter. And you know you're bitter if you hear a success that's going on in somebody's life and you're ticked off at it. You know you're bitter. So how do you deal with that? Pray for them. Something happens, that's Jesus' instruction. Something happens in our hearts when you pray for somebody that has hurt you for good to go on. Like, bless them, Father. Bless that ministry. Bless that individual. And then all of a sudden you come across them, you know, at some restaurant or some function, and they go, yeah, things are going well. And you go, praise God. I'm glad. But if you can't pray and you can't think of them well, then you're bitter. And I think the only salve for that is prayer for them. And that's why I think Jesus says, pray for those who persecute you. There's something that goes on in our hearts. And I think even in that, being very frank with God in that and going, right now I'm praying for their blessing and I can't stand them because they've hurt me so bad. Help me in that. I think it's really important for us as men to do that. You know why it's important for us as men to do that is because, and I'm going to get myself in trouble perhaps, is because it's really hard for women to do this, and we need to lead them in this. I think it's really hard for, because they're more emotional, and I believe men and women are different. I know that may be a surprise, but men and women are different. I think it's really difficult for women because they're more emotional, and I think we need to lead in this. Which means even holding the hands of our wives in those times where we're praying for people that have hurt us and we're naming names and going, Lord, please, I pray for a blessing for Jimmy or Sally or that ministry or whatever. And I think we lead our wives or girlfriends or our family really well in that. I think that's our call in that. We lead well, we serve well in that. Thoughts on that, guys? Inasmuch as it is dependent upon you, live with peace. And sometimes, no matter what you do, there won't be peace. But inasmuch as it's dependent upon you, I think is our counsel. Yeah. We have to have those hard meetings. Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know what, that's always the important thing. If you're a community group leader or, wherever, you're, leading a group of people, whatever, preaching on a Sunday or leading a community group, sometimes that journey is, it's a 30, 40-year ramp at times, right? What would you say to a girl who came to you and said, my dad sexually molested me for 10 years and he was a pastor of a church? Right? What would you say with that? And I'm angry at God, I'm angry at my dad, and I've been physically, sexually abused. My mom tried to keep it quiet. The elders didn't do anything. I'd say, well, let's walk together. And as long as we're walking like this. I mean, guys, I've had a counseling session in my office a couple of years ago where woman married a guy, and he was very involved in Second Life or whatever that stuff is. And he came to her and said, this woman that I've met on this sort of Second Life, whatever it's called, she wants to come and live with us and she wants to be our slave. Would that be okay? Like, what? Like, what? You've been married how long? About a year. And so he wants to bring a woman into your house to be your slave. And she's going, help me with this. I mean, you do these journeys, right? You journey together. For some, it's maybe one conversation of forgiveness, it's another. You just, as long as you're heading this way and journeying together. But it's, yeah, it's not, it's messy and it's sometimes slow. And that's why we have, we counsel and walk and journey together and all that stuff. But you're right. And it's not just always like that, as long as you're proceeding this way and allowing for proceeding grace. Right, grace. Because you're gonna have times where you're just going, what the? Yeah. Any other thoughts on that? Right here, right here, right here. Go ahead, yeah, teach each other.
I don't know. Do you think that it's wise to try and pray for the Spirit to soften your heart towards somebody that you might be bitter towards? Kind of before you pray for them, like with a wrong mood. Like, I don't know if you could pray for somebody and just not mean it. Just like praying for someone to bless someone, and really in your heart, you're like, no, I actually don't want that to happen.
Yeah. God knows your heart, right? So you're not going to snow God. And so I think, not only do I think it's wise and good and helpful, I would even go a step further and go, God, you know my heart right now. I have no desire. I have no desire. And so help me. I have no desire. I'm so angry and put off, and I didn't deserve that. And he didn't, because we either affect people with our sin or we're affected by sin. And so it is okay to say, look, I've been affected by someone else's sin and depravity. And I don't feel like praying for them. They don't deserve my prayers, but I didn't deserve your grace. So help me. Help me be Jesus to them and extend grace where grace, being grace, wasn't deserved. I think that's a good starting place. And again, going back to that trajectory, maybe that's your prayer for the first X amount of days, months, seasons. Get me to a place where I can pray for them right now. But I think it's like any conversation, right, where you just are honest. Because God knows your heart. And I don't think he's ever not pleased with that type of confession and statement. I think he enters those. Somebody, was it? Yeah.
God wants you to be able to grow through that and to strengthen and to become better through those experiences, not so much for yourself, for people who may be in your life down the road who may need help through a certain situation like that, and by you being able to journey through that, to grow through that, and to achieve, I guess, that, you can now then pay it forward to help other people who may be going through certain troubles similar to the situation.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. Romans 5, James 1, amongst others, just affirm what you're saying. Yeah. Somebody else? Thanks.
I really appreciate what we had to say on Sunday, the difference between remorse.
You're the one. You're the one who's.
I made this note, I've been praying about this ever since this Sunday.
Yep. I think it depends on the situation. I think, you know, the context of what's been done. You know, I don't think there's one answer. You know, it really depends on the situation, because some things I think deserve, in an honoring way, you know, a lot of patience. You know, where others, look, we got in a fight yesterday. I'm sorry for how that went. I said a couple of things. Let's move on. Another may be, I've been cheating on my wife for years and years and years. I've repented. Well, that may take 15, 20 years, right? I mean, so I think we do all we can. We don't demand anything back. And we live with much patience and grace in that. Yeah, so I don't think there's one right answer. I think we do all we can on the front end, and then we walk and journey and give as much patience in that journey. That would be my... And we never go, you know, what's your problem? Right? I would never do that. That's something between them and the Spirit. You know? Please.
Don't wait for them to say sorry. Because if you wait for people to say sorry, then you might be waiting for a long time. I think that you have to be able to let go right, to forgive right away. They've done you wrong by waiting for someone. You know, they might never come around, and they're from hell. But, you know, I can't forgive you unless you get, unless you come back and you tell me you did me wrong, and you do all the things that are needed. I think that God, we need to pray as men to help us to forgive, just like he did for us, without even, you know, we didn't wait for me to say sorry. He kind of just did. And I just came around to, you know, I guess that the grace part that you talked about. But we just got to be willing to go down and say, I forgive.
Yeah, that's a good word. You're a pretty smart guy. I just give you a hard time because I love you. I've got a bunch more, and I've got about 8 minutes left. So let me do this rather quickly so you can fill in your blanks, and all you type A personalities can leave with your handout filled, and you can feel good, or you high greens or whatever personality test you've taken. By your humility, number 8, real men know that God resists the proud, rewards the humble. They know that when we're when they're meek in spirit, they're blessed by God, and God will exalt us in due time. God gives grace to the humble. He opposes. You don't want God to oppose you, by the way. You don't want God to oppose you. That's a very daunting statement. God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Again, Jesus is our example, right, in that. Here's another one, and I say this to you young guys, by your edification. Be known as a man, even in your 20s, teens, mid-20s, as someone who builds up. Get over your sarcasm. I'm not opposed to sarcasm. We pop off in staff meetings, we have a good time. But may we be people that go, thank you for that. That was just great. Thank you for that. That was a great thing. Great meeting, great statement, great mass, great whatever. Thank you. That was wonderful. Just be about edification, not flattery. Flattery is not what I'm calling us to. But be known as that guy. An edifier, builder up. That also means, you know, that wasn't great, man. I'm pressing in on that. That smells bad. And be willing to be edified as well. Edify is build up, right? Edify is to build up. Be an edifier. Be known as that guy. Be willing as well to be the kind of friend that is comfortable in the silence. And what I mean by that is don't make a joke when it's uncomfortable, when something important is going on in somebody's life. If there are tears, you're in a one-on-one, one-on-two, you're in your community group, and there's that awkward, tear-filled moment. Don't ruin it by making a joke just because you're uncomfortable. Be the kind of friend that is willing to live in that discomfort. So be an edifier. Put your arm around somebody and go, thank you. Thank you for doing that. Be that person. So you'll be known. You serve well by your edification, because I haven't run across anybody who's been edified too much. It's a pretty rare thing, unless they're a single child and a nutjobby parent, right? Who's doing figure skating. Or whatever they do. I've probably offended somebody. Somebody want to read Ephesians 4:29? Yeah, people need grace. Right? People need that. Be that guy. Be that man. By your hard work and provision, number 10, real men work under the Lord. They're not lazy. They're always willing to work hard for the benefit of their family and for others. Mark Driscoll's favorite verse, 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Good verse. And I applaud what Mark has done with just pressing in on guys in that regard too. So I think it's good. Number 11, by their trust in the Lord. Real men trust in the Lord with all of their heart. They don't depend on their own understanding. They allow the Lord to direct their ways. Very well known, as you know, text and promise, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Not smooth, by the way, just straight, not smooth. He will make them straight, but not smooth. Number 12, if you have any thoughts, or I'm just wanting to make sure that you get this, and I also want to honor your time too. Number 12 is by their worship. Real men know from where their blessings come from. You'll continually praise and worship the Lord for the life that he gives, for his eternal salvation, for his everlasting mercy and love. You know that your blessings from your work come from God. You know that your ability to work comes from God. You know, your ability or desire to work comes from God. You know that your desirability and the training thereof comes from everything. What do you have that you have not received? Nothing. So everything can be a opportunity for worship. Psalm 70, verse 4, may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. So by your worship. Number 13, by your discipline and contentment. Real men are disciplined spiritually, physically, and mentally. They learn to be content in whatever state they are in. They know that the Christian walk is not a sprint, but a marathon. Philippians 4:11, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. And he goes on to say that very well-known text, right? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. One of them being, I can be content in want, not I can win the Super Bowl because Jesus gives me strength. Perhaps you can, but you also cannot win the Super Bowl and be content because Jesus can give you strength, right? That's Paul's point. I'm content whether I have a bunch or whether I have little because my contentment is Jesus. In Jesus, I can do all things, even if I have zero. Even if my season goes 0-16, I'm content because Jesus is my sustenance. So we show by our discipline and contentment, and we serve in that way. By their praying, real men pray without ceasing. They pray that their daily walk would be holy and pure. They pray for their family, for others. They pray for the Lord's wisdom and direction in all things. As Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, they pray without ceasing, which means you just have an attitude of prayer. Which means you just go, my wife prays without ceasing. I think I can say with great integrity, I think she always thinks prayer. Like when she wakes up, she prays. She's always thinking prayer. She just thinks that way. She prays without ceasing. She's always praying in her mind, out loud, driving. She just prays without ceasing. And I think we serve well. We want to talk about how do I serve? Serve in that way. We need more prayers. Let me just press the pause button before I do the last four. Any thoughts on any of these, guys? Yeah.
A bit of a digression, number 10.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, again, I think I would go both extremes can be bad. And what I mean by that is, and I was saying this to the elders the other day, we had elders meeting at my house last Thursday. We'll use even this as an example. I'm not with my kids right now. I wasn't with my kids on Thursday, but I made the statement to the elders, and they're great examples of this to me as well, and I think to all of us. I'm not with my kids, but I think I'm parenting well right now. because my boys know that daddy's with the elders or he's at a men's night. So even though I'm not with them, I think I'm parenting well, and I'm thinking I'm showing them what a dad needs to do, because I need to be serving the ministry, I need to be working hard, I need to do that. But then there's times where I go, well, I'll give you another example. My boy's birthday yesterday, and believe me, I'm not the all-star dad, so I'm not holding myself up here. My kid's birthday yesterday, I said, Micah, get up early. We'll go to prayer, we'll cut out of there early, and we'll go to breakfast. So we left prayer early to go to breakfast, hang out, have a good time. Then we have baseball at night, so I cut out of some other stuff, because then we'll do some other thing where I'm not around them. I think both are important. But I think if we say, I'm going to serve my kids well because I'm going to demonstrate, and I'm never going to be in their life, but boy, they're going to know what a hard worker is and a dedicated to the church guy, and that's all it is. Or I'm not going to do this because I'm just going to be with my family. No, if you're just with your family and just present all the time, and you're drinking a glass of wine, and you're really not spending any time with them, but just because you're under the roof, you think you're a good dad. No, I call BS to that. I think both are important. And I think that's what you're saying is we need to at times go, daddy's not going to be here tonight because daddy's going to be here, but daddy's going to do this tomorrow. It's when we're going here and we negate something. I agree with you. There's times where 60 grand a year is enough. If 70 grand means I'm not going to be with my family, you know, that kind of thing. Or I could make 70, I'm just being lazy. It's not going to really make a lot of difference. My kids will be fine. I could give more time. So, yeah, you know, I think we need to evaluate, talk to our kids, be very open. I talk to my kids, as I'm sure you, if dads, talk to your kids and just go, I'm not going to be around tonight, and this is what's going on, but, you know, here's what's a non-negotiable for me. We're not missing this. I'm going to be at baseball, or else we're having family and pizza night and movie night and, you know. So, we exemplify.
Just a quick second point on that, as well as providing, I guess, for your family financially. Some guy might, you know, end up marrying a doctor, and he's, I don't know, thoughtful, and she's providing.
Now we're talking a whole bunch of things. That's good though. I would say you bring leadership doesn't necessarily you are bringing in the most cash. There also comes a point, and here, you know, be very transparent. There comes a point where I would say you start having kids, mama needs to be at home. That's my personal opinion. Because I, for a number of reasons. No, I know guys disagree, and that's fine. You believe what you believe, I believe what I believe in that regard. I know there's debate, and people love Jesus, and that's fine. But in terms of, here, I'll use another example other than cash. I'm responsible for the spiritual nourishment of my family, I believe, as the leader of my family. Who spends most time with my kids? My wife. Who tells them more about Jesus? Me or my wife? My wife, who's in the... I mean, they do devotions with my wife in the morning. They do memory work on the way to the school. When I say goodnight to them at night, I spend 5 minutes with them. My wife spends 45 minutes with them. I mean, because they open up to her. They don't talk about girls with me. They have nothing, right? Nothing. They don't... They want... So, now I go, whoa, put my foot down. Look, I gave 10 minutes, you give 9. Okay, because I'm the lead. No, it's, man, praise God that they have a mom who loves them and loves Jesus. And is, I'm not worried about that at all. So my responsibility is making sure it happens. And praise God that I have a woman that I don't sit there and think about it. All right? I don't sit there and think. But it, let's say a time came where I was making 60 grand and my wife was making 61. I go, well, you better take a couple grand off that. Right? So I'm making more. No, I don't think that's the point. I think the point is I need to make sure the family's taken care of. That, I think, is the point. So, but again, people can disagree with that. That's fine. These are the gray areas. I'm not going to divide over that, but that's the way I read it. And I'm right. That's great. time is done. Let me do the last ones real quick. By their going. Real men are faithful to the command to go and make disciples, share with others, evangelism, sharing. Great commission coming out of Matthew 28. By your giving, time, talent, treasure. Show your kids especially. Lead your girlfriends, lead your wives. Show your families. If you're single, not dating, just, by your giving. I've got a good buddy of mine in the States. His first date. This guy was a downhill skier. He was ranked top 100 in the world. He had a pilot's license. What else? He just one of these top student, just one of these guys, just rock star, and loved Jesus. And always on his first date, he was going to school at University of Utah, and he would take his dates first time down to inner city and he'd just hand out money. And he'd watch how she responded. And if she responded well, she goes, I want nothing to do with her. And he just said, I'm a giver. This is who I am. I want to give. And if I'm not even going to waste time on this. This is really important to me. And so by our giving, we serve well by our giving. Why? Because God's love is demonstrated in his giving, right? For God so loved that he gave. How do we demonstrate whether we love people, love God? We give. Give of time, talent, or treasure. By our raising and our nurturing, again, speaking specifically to families but and parents and dad stuff, but I don't think it's exclusive. Real men study and burn God's word into our hearts, discipline and train our children up into it. I guess the way I would put it is, we are a body as the church. We recognize that we need people's help in the raising up of our kids, but we understand that we're the, at least on this side of heaven, we are the primary spiritual caregivers for our kids. So we raise them in that way. And then lastly, by loving wives, but again, loving others. This is not a married, non-married thing, but by loving. Which kind of goes full circle. So there you go, man. Real men serve. Serve in this way. And if you were coming here and going, okay, what are the 12 ways that we have needs here at Westside to serve? No, it's way bigger than that. We serve in so many different ways. And 99.9% of your life is outside of this building. So in no way, shape, or form did I want to give you the idea that it was here. In so many ways. Any last thoughts before we call it a night? It's, like I said, did my phone just go out? Maybe it did. What time is it? 22. Okay, I've gone over a little bit. Thank you for your grace on that. Started a little bit late, but any last thoughts? Let's, want to press into each other a little bit.
One kind of summary thought I have is that Jesus does all these things perfectly. We serve others the best, summing all this up, when we do these things because we image Christ not only to each other but to a dying world who needs him so desperately. So for those who are not coming to church or reading the scriptures, they are to look at us and like a God is restoring, in the garden, made in his image and broken, but all of this sums up in that.
Thanks, BJ. Other thoughts?
Just going back to the trust in the Lord one, that one just really stuck out to me because it's so related to why serve is so important. Like, like in my own life, when I'm trusting in the Lord and actually like, okay, like when he tells me this, when he gives me a promise, when he gives me commands, my trust in his character and who he is and what he promises me assures me that it's actually to my advantage to these things. Like many of these things are actually like difficult. You know, they're more difficult seeming the alternatives. And we don't do it for the sake of like our own holiness or anything like that, or like trying to make ourselves like seem more righteous. Like we do it because we like trust in the Lord and as we like trust his character, we do like love him.
Any other last thoughts? Okay, let me pray for us, and then you don't have to skedaddle, but if you need to, great. If you want to just hang around and hang with others, feel free, or bless you as you go. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for every individual here. I thank you that that there is something going on in their heart that moves them and causes them to make the time to be here tonight. There's a yearning for more. There's a yearning for understanding or help or encouragement. And so I thank you for that. Every individual has their own story here. And so I thank you that we had the opportunity coming together, and I thank you for every guy that's here. And I pray, there's a lot of stuff that we talked about tonight. I guess my prayer, Father, is that whatever that one or two or three things can be applied and added onto what you're doing, I just pray that that would take place, not by might or by power, but by your Spirit, that as we feed the Spirit through the disciplines of prayer and meditation and journaling and repentance and worship and giving and fasting, that as we feed the Spirit, that you, Holy Spirit, would birth out of us a greater and greater desire and capacity to live these things out. So I pray for that. I pray especially even in regards to some of our conversations about forgiveness and coming alongside of others and serving them when we're not recognized, or it seems like people are ungrateful or just antagonistic or lacking grace in return. I pray that you would help us especially in those times, for I think it's in those times where we really demonstrate our Christ-likeness. So help, I pray for that. I say that easily because that's so true in my life. So I pray that you'd help us in those areas. I pray for these guys as a part of this ministry that they would model biblical masculinity to those around them, other men and women, and to the world around us that so needs an example. So I pray that you would give them much strength for the sake of your glory and your name and our joy, I pray. Amen.